This is tape recording number
500904-1.
The title of this lecture is Push Buttons 1. It is 10 minutes long.
It can be found in R&D Volume 3, page 351 as Advertising Dianetics, Propaganda, Push Buttons.
This recording has been re-recorded by the Flag Audio Unit of the Flagship Apollo of the Sea Organization.
And restored from a reel in the free zone.
In this lecture, Ron talks about push-button circuitry. And now, here is L. Ron Hubbard.
All right, this morning we're going to talk about push buttons. I have mentioned push buttons before. I'm not going to give you a very extended lecture on them this morning, but I'm going to tell you the basic fundamentals. The fundamentals of starting wars, getting people killed, selling Lifebuoy soap, and other essential and non-essential actions in which the human race engages. This lecture might also be entitled, The Value of the Reactive Mind to the Controllers of a Society. The reactive mind is a very, very valuable thing. Without the reactive mind, Captain Barton, Burstein, and Osborne, J. Walter Thompson would probably be out of business. Psychological warfare could not be contemplated. We would be at peace with Russia. A lot of Koreans would be alive. And other undesirable things would happen. The reactive mind has a very, very great value to the political, the advertising executive, or anyone who wishes to convince any body of people of an irrationality. Convince them of the truth of a lie. It's very, very easy to do. Very easy to do. To get a radio station and keep talking about X-Lax the way they used to. And have people finally stampeding the stores to buy this product. Which, as a matter of fact, contains phenolphthalein solution. And is very, very injurious. To the human system, and a person, if he took enough of it, would probably be ruined for keeps. You know the fact that this is apt, an ungraceful, unlovely subject, but I think a subject which best symbolizes the best in advertising in America. Now, so happens that the human body doesn't have any trouble with constipation. There's nothing easier to control than the bowel action of the organism. Unlovely subject, but we have to cover this anyway. It so happens that you can take any hypnotic subject and you can constipate him with a short command for a couple of weeks if you want to. Or you can give him diarrhea for a couple of weeks. In other words, it so happens that this is the easiest fluid flow or physical action in the body to control. The easiest to control in the whole body, the bowels. Because it works regularly and so on. Should be interesting to you that radio advertising concentrated on constipation. It should be interesting to you that great fortunes were made out of stuff like X-Lax. It should be interesting to you that all the farmers' almanacs pay for themselves practically on ads about constipation. Cellutan, nature spelled backwards. That is the easiest thing to control. Therefore, when radio advertising or printed advertising is placed before human beings, they can be worried about this function. And the function can be cut off. Certainly on all those people who have, you've got to believe everything you read in class. And if you put it on in such an authoritarian line as, I don't know, who used to run that class, as Thomas and Andy or somebody like that, or maybe Jack Benny or somebody. Jack Benny wouldn't be in an X-Lax ad. That'd be bad. Well, when it's put on this authoritarian line, the condition is created, and the remedy is sold for it simultaneously. So the thing to do is to make something wrong with people so that you can get money for making it right. Now, this is a typical push-button operation. Typical. You create the situation so that you can sell the remedy. It isn't necessary to create the situation, however. It's only necessary to catalyze it a little bit, accelerate it. Somebody being told that we have to make the world safe for democracy is just getting another sample of X-Lax advertising. It's not a rational statement. Certainly, thee and me have a very nice country here, and we have every right to protect that country, to grow it, to square around, to govern the country sentiently, to make better Fords and Buicks, and even to make radios on which to advertise for X-Lax. We have all those rights. But I'm afraid it hasn't got much to do with a slogan. That's just another push-button proposition. If we're able to do all this, we can do it through the application of great reason, rationality, thought, finding out what the problems are and how to solve them, and whether we are a democratic form of government or a government of communistic cells or something of the sort. These are labels. The whole point is, are these forms of government reasonable? Well, it so happens that they're not reasonable. Thomas Jefferson on the subject of democracy has been terrifically violated time after time. As a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson, who had the biggest hand in the writing of the state papers on which all of our liberty depends, on which this very nation was founded, that gentleman is now considered so radical that when an article was in process for Collier's magazine on him, the content of that article was looked over on the high editorial echelon, you know, owner-publisher level, and they said, oh no, we can't publish this fellow. In other words, Thomas Jefferson is now too strong for the stomachs of America. Now, unfortunately, Thomas Jefferson didn't talk in terms of push buttons. He tried to talk in terms of reason, and he is too reasonable. Today, we are getting a lot of push button government. I'm not against the U.S. government, and they're not against me, but I'm certainly not in total agreement with the United States government as she is run today. That's one of the primary principles of democracy. You stay out of agreement with the government, and then the government gets some pressure on it, and sooner or later will square around and resolve some problems. That's the protesting minority principle. But one doesn't even have to set it up on this crude line. The only thing I'm trying to come forward to here is the fact that the government today is doing more and more and more push-button governing. You know, they set up a model. This nice big model, and everybody says, the little kids in school are all taught about this, you know, nicely educated along that line. Here's the model, and then afterwards somebody can say, rah, 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 and everybody say, yes, that's right. Why is that right? Well, you ask the fellow carefully, and you say, why is that right? And he'll say, well, my teacher in the first grade said so. Well, is she an authority on government? Well, you can go right down the bank and you can cut a person to pieces on the subject of surrendering to governmental models. We take the word freedom. That is an interesting word. Once upon a time, freedom meant something very, very broad. It meant, on one side, a man's right to decide for himself what he was to do and to continue to decide at his own crossroads what he was to do with his life and the society in which he lived. That was freedom. It also, unfortunately, included the Achilles heel of being permitted to starve, of being permitted to go out of work, and it also was given to a bunch of people who, reactively in chains, were basically slaves. And so, freedom, as a sort of a shotgun thing, had to be modified. Until we get this great statement, freedom from want. The one thing which you can't have with freedom.
With individual freedom, there can be no freedom from want. So the second we say freedom from want, we have done a reactive jam on the whole subject of freedom, and after that, one party, one action, are the future consequences of such a statement. That's push-buttoning. When it's taught that the word freedom is good, then as the years progress, the word freedom is less and less assigned. Its definitions aren't included with it. But we know that the boys at Bunker Hill died for freedom. We know that so-and-so gave us all for freedom. We know that we are a great nation because we are a free nation. Yes. You see, it has nothing to do with the problem. We might be a great nation because we are rational, because we are strongly energetic, because we have enormous resources, good blood, good people, and because we know something about political philosophy, but not because we're free.